everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite podcast about your favorite show. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. It's a beautiful night for a podcast, and also it's a beautiful day to talk about the moon conspiracy. That's right, this is not a Grey's episode. This is a conspiracy about how America faked the moon landing.
Do you believe that?
Do you believe we put a man on the moon?
Yes. I believe we put multiple there, and honestly, we should send more and leave them, in my opinion. Yeah.
Can we vote on who we want to send and leave?
Yeah,
can
that's that be public the election opinion? These people need to be winning.
That's, yes, that's what we need. Oh my goodness, that's so, so funny. I have some shout-outs, Kelsey.
Okay.
And then I would like to tell you all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down.
Well, first we do have two new Patreons we have to check out.
Oh, wait. You top shout them out first.
Top of
they
the
get,
app.
They get number one priority.
Top of the app. Wait, why do I text you so much? Now they're all gone.
Why are we friends both on air and in real life?
So much. Okay. Lexi.
Lexi. Woo! Lexi, short for Leximus.
And Elena. Elena, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know what your real name is because the username is Alien Queen. And then the email makes me think maybe it's Ellen.
Alien Queen!
And or Ellen. We appreciate you.
And or Ellen.
I have sent both of them links to Discord, but they have not joined yet. So pop on there, guys, or you can email or reach out to me if you're having any issues with that, and I will assist.
Yes.
Okay, your turn.
Man, love to hear all the Patreon patrons. I want to, speaking of Patreon patrons, I want to shout out Carissa, because Carissa is one of our patrons who's on the Discord, and I reached out to her. I am so far behind. I'm back in November for the people that I needed to catch up on introducing myself after they've followed me, and I'm still committed to this. I just have been very behind, so I'm months behind. So I messaged Carissa, and she was like, yes, oh my gosh, I love it, but I'm on the Discord page, but I'm not a ton of super active. So anyways, shout out for Carissa being an amazing person and also hating Owen Hunt with us. Want to shout out. These are all the new people who I messaged, and they reached back out to me. So I reached out to them, and they're actively engaging in conversation with me. So Hannah, you know who you are. Rick, you know who you are. Bailey, Constanza, Lachelle, Babs, Laura, Samantha, Lex, Mape, Bud, Emma. It's just so awesome to chat with you all. That's as many as I can name in the time that we have. So love getting to chat with you guys. And if you're someone who has followed me and you're like, Carmen hasn't gotten back to me and I followed him months ago, don't feel bad reaching out to me, okay? And I promise
tell
I will talk
that
to you.
Sucks.
I look at
he loves to okay. hear it.
Love to hear that I suck totally, because I don't. And it's funny in an ironic way. Like when Kelsey's mean to me, she's actually saying, "Carmen, I love you," and I'm like, "Yes, I understand. Bring on the hatred. It's totally fine."
Yeah.
See, podcast
I stand
confirmed.
By that.
Anyways, all right. So, hey, dude, what's up?
That's
wait,
the wrong
podcast.
Thing.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ah.
I did have a dream the other day that I took my children to like the local kids museum, and in the gift shop when I was leaving, there were Pokemon cards. And
I thought you were going to say Grey's Academy merch.
No, and I took a picture and I was like, do you need this? And while I was waiting for you to respond, this kid saw that I had taken the last deck and he was like sobbing. And you responded and you were like, fuck yeah. And I was like, okay, made a kid cry. I'm keeping it. And then I woke up. So I don't even know what was in it. I hope it was worth it.
You know what? I want you to know that Dream Carmen appreciates it. And all of the other people, the scalpers in the world, they ruined that kid's experience, not me.
No.
Anyways,
I was all for it.
Let me actually tell you about an experience that did happen that made me feel only a little bit dirty, and a little bit reckless and irresponsible. But let me tell you about the story. So, I'm in a Discord group that has stock checkers for Pokemon cards at places like Walmart, Target, Dollar General, Barnes and Noble, etc. Okay, mm-hmm. And I saw that a stock checker had popped up at a Walmart, and this is the day of Jessica's retrieval. Okay. So mm-hmm. we do the retrieval. We're driving back down the highway, and it's an hour away. So like we pass a lot of just shit on the highway. It's just the world around us. So I look and I do a Google search. I'm like, okay, it says there's 50 of this one item. It's at a Walmart on the way home. We got to get a couple things for Marlo and we're cooking dinner for Bill that night too. So like, it's mm-hmm. fine. Like we'll go shopping. And honestly, Jess needed like Gatorade and like chicken noodle soup, like, you know, typical sick food stuff. Right.
Right.
So I go, and as we're parking, mm-hmm. Jess and I look straight ahead and there's this guy. I'm not going to describe the person. Okay. But I want you to know that Jess and I both were like, that guy's here for fucking Pokemon cards. And I was like, and she's like, go, babe, go, run, I'll catch up. And she's like slowly waddling. And lo and behold, this guy was there for the fucking Pokemon cards. So we converge on the cards at the same time, okay? Now, Walmart recently...
Did you run?
I power walked, but I was like right behind this guy. Yeah, I was like keeping up with him.
You have an advantage.
Safe distance. Yes.
Your legs are long.
I was significantly taller than this man. And this is, for the record, this is at least a 30-year-old male as well. Okay, so this is 30-year-old millennial with 30-year-old millennial. So I'm following this guy, and when I got to the same spot, I'm like, you looking for Pokemon cards? He goes, yeah, they're right over here. And I was like, okay, cool. It's just the two of us. And he's like, do you want to split it 50-50? And there's like maybe 36 to 40 of these boxes here. They're little two-pack tins, okay? And I'm like, sure. And I only said that because I know if I took my five, this man was going to take all of the rest of them.
Well,
so in this moment,
I appreciate his
it was very
generosity.
Civil, and we had like a yeah, we had a good conversation. Yeah. We exchanged numbers. He's like, hey, I'm in a couple Discords. Nice. Like, hit me up. Like, and it was a good moment, but like, it was a little bit sad because it was in the Easter basket section. So mm-hmm. there's kids out there who could have gotten an Easter basket surprise at Pokemon cards.
Well, maybe their parents should have gone to Walmart earlier in the day.
And honestly, that's true. I do feel like I did a little bit of service to humanity by saying, hey, scalper, you only get half of these and I get the other half. Not why, I get me? Five and you get 35.
Do you think he's a scalper?
He said he was a scalper. Yeah, he said he was. Yeah, he's like, oh, I've already got these sold. And I was like, I'm going to rip all of these with my daughter. So I'm going to open these, every single one of these. He's like, that's really not a good decision. I was like, honestly, I don't care. So, yeah, you know, I felt a little bit icky. But
people have joy and let other people have joy and let other people's children have joy?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Listen,
guys,
I don't know.
Guys, what are we doing? Come on.
Yeah, so
I was happy. I thought you just like found another you. Don't be his friend. I take it back.
No, I mean, no, he sucks, but it's, I still, at least he was civil to me in that moment. And
yeah,
if there
I
was another
that.
Person there, I imagine that he would have said, all right, all three of us will split it three ways or whatever. Or if there was a yeah. kid, he'd be like, all right, how many do you want? And he would have done it. Like,
just,
he
like,
wasn't, he was not making
him in the stomach.
No, yeah. He wasn't making head. Conflict. You know, now here's the thing. I am probably a foot taller than this person. Not actually a foot taller,
again,
but I'm a significantly larger human than this person. Yes. So, you know, if this person was taller than me or a bodybuilder, maybe they're not kind. He was not taller than me and he was not a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. So, but I want to assume that he would have been cordial regardless because that's my truth. But
Yeah.
Either way, that's the story. I'm so sorry to any of you who can't find Pokemon cards out there. I'm with you. I just happened to get there at the same time as this person, and I got lucky. If I was there 2 minutes later, he would have had all of them. So
run.
Yeah. But anyways, Grey's Anatomy is the main storyline.
Grey's Anatomy. This was an episode of Grey's Anatomy, and we watched it.
And if you see Carmen walking down the streets, no spoilers. Bye. We'll see you all in the next one.
10 minutes. Okay. So this is the 11th episode of the 10th season. It is episode 207 overall. It is called Man on the Moon, and that is a song.
Man on the Moon is a song by the American. Make America Great Again, am I right? I'm kidding. Obviously, this is satire at this point. It's just such a fucking joke. We don't have time for a sidebar, I don't think. This whole episode has been a sidebar already. It's by American alternative rock band REM, or yes. REM, like the sleep. Released November 1992. I don't know why I said that so weird.
1992.
This album is a Scorpio, released November 9th, 1992. So very cool. Man on the Moon was one of the singles. It was the second single in chronological order. It goes Drive, Man on the Moon, and then the Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, which is the famous song from The Lion King. So this song did very well across the globe. It charted in the top 100 in a number of countries. I'll go ahead and I'll rattle those off. So Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Europe. Oh, sorry. Europe is not a country. Europe is a continent. Germany, Iceland, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, the UK, and the United States, with the US Billboard Top 100 rank of 30, reaching number 2 in the alternative airplay and number 4 in the mainstream airplay. And then again, one last top 10 spot at number 9 on the pop airplay. At the end of the 1993 year, it was still in the top 100 in Canada, Germany, Iceland, and the United States. So the song did very well. I'm going to be honest with you. Subjectively, my subjective score, this is a fucking 1. I think REM is, I think, is a little bit overrated. I'm so sorry. Oh, I think the guy's voice is annoying. I think we've had this conversation before. Objectively, I think it's got to be at least a 3.5 because it's charted around the world. It did very well.
I just can't believe you don't like them. Every time it takes it's so 90s. Like, it's just absolutely very like, so.
I don't like
could not be
I don't
more
like the
90s
music. 90s is a dead era of music for me. The grunge, the ska. Like, actually, I fuck with ska.
I wonder if I go on and look through REM's, like, their last album that they put out, because it was in the later aughts. I wonder if I could find some that you would like. I would have to like parse through it and pick specific ones that I think would appeal to you. Because I think
I probably would.
As they kind of grow out of like that grunge esque era and come into their own sound a little bit more. I just love REM so much. But it's just so much nostalgia for me. So
for sure. And honestly, I'm the kind of guy that when people talk about like Blink 182 or Green Day, they're like, man, old Blink was the only Blink that matters. No, old Blink fucking sucked. It was garbage music. It's way better now. Old Green Day, you might have a point. But the 90s music is like not it for me. But the problem is the 80s and the 2000s was such like that. Those two timelines of music, the hair metal 80s and the pop punk 2000s, shaped who I am as a human today. So the 90s are just kind of a dead zone for me. But
yeah.
But it's still fine. But, so we've had a couple of REM. I keep wanting to say we had a couple REM songs.
We had a couple REM cycles.
We had a couple REM songs.
Not had a REM cycle once in my life.
Before, right? Yeah, you'll get there one day.
That's the hope.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, I'm giving it an objective 3.5, a subjective 1. Did not make it to my iTunes library, but let me actually do a quick search. I wonder if I have any REM in my iTunes library that I'm forgetting. Let me just look here. So
I'm curious.
r.e.m.library. Shiny Happy People.
Oh, a classic. I have that also in a book form for my children.
Nice. That's the one REM cycle sleep song I have in my.
You don't like Losing My Religion? Losing My Religion. No. God, there's so many good songs. Yeah, I'm going to have to go through their last album.
And honestly, now that I think about it, I'm going to go ahead and delete Shiny Happy People. I think I'm going to delete it. I don't know. While I'm at it.
While I'm at it, I'm going to go ahead and end this friendship.
Yeah, while I'm at it, doesn't surprise me. But you put up with me longer than I thought you would.
Hey, that
what the friendship Deadpool was like 1 year of podcast episodes. And here we are, 12 years later.
We have known each other 10 years this year, I think. I met Jessica in July of 2016. So I don't know when I would have met you.
Really?
She didn't live there yet. Yeah.
Probably shortly after, because I moved there in October 2017.
Yeah. And I met you obviously before you moved down. So I picked you up and took you to the airport multiple times.
Yeah.
And we went to Ale House. Yeah.
And Culver's.
They don't want right by my house.
Let me tell you something.
Lovely.
Something beautiful happened the other day. And then we'll actually continue talking about Grays.
Yeah.
There's a place I'm having a hard time remembering where we got it, but we got cheese curds. And oh my gosh, did it make Culver's cheese curds taste like cheese turds? Okay. well, it was they were so good.
Was it
so
like a local place versus a chain?
No, I think it was a chain. Oh, but I don't remember
where else has.
I'll have to ask Jess because she came home with the food.
Mm.
Yeah. So, anyways, Grey's Anatomy. This is the episode all about Shane being a bitch.
Dude, there's hostility in this episode all over.
There's hostility all over.
Frustration is a good word for, I feel like, the theme of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This episode was written by Elizabeth Claviter. Directed by Bobby Roth. Roth IRA.
Yes.
Aired December 5th, 2013 to 7.2 million views. And the Netflix synopsis for this one is... Oh, there it is. Christina and Shane's relationship heats up in more ways than one while April prepares for her wedding with the not-so-welcome help of her sisters. I would say that's pretty accurate.
Can I also just say those sisters were fucking annoying? Oh my God. I mean, they clearly wrote them that way, but damn.
Yeah. So we'll start here because my thing with the sisters is absolutely they're annoying. But like she clearly doesn't enjoy them. She doesn't enjoy talking to them. So for me, it super didn't make any sense that they know all about these like really specific details about people in her life. Because I'm like, you're kind of writing this as like she doesn't want to talk to them. They are terrible to her. So why are you also writing that they're like super close and she like tells them everything? Obviously, she didn't tell them initially about the sex with Jackson, but like they know about Jackson. They know intimate details about Arizona.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I think it should have been written more as like they don't know anything about her life and they're still terrible. Or they have this really close relationship and then like maybe they get mad about when they find out that she's like already had sex. I don't know. Like, the conflict of it for me, like, was kind of not making. I was just like, why would they know all this? She hates talking to them. She just wants to get away from them.
Yeah, they really picked like 12 different lanes and said, take all of them. Which lane do we want to go? Yes.
We're in every lane.
The correct answer is yes. I felt the exact same thing. Like, unless the direction they were going was she told them kind of out of obligation or desperation when she was back home after she had kind of like failed, not, I was going to say kind of gotten fired, but she failed her board exam. And then she starts talking, but I couldn't remember the timeline if Jackson and her were smushing booties before she left or not, or if it was after she left. Yeah, because
that's
back.
Why she failed the boards, remember?
Oh, that's right.
That's why she nailed it. But she didn't get close to Arizona until after everything with the boards and the plane crash. And that's when Arizona lost her leg. So this is like a conscious effort to communicate with them at length and tell them sordid details about her friends.
Yes. And also, if you're listening and there was like a weird delay there, there was a technical difficulty.
Oh, I was like, what happened?
Yeah, no. You froze.
Everything was
for
fine
a second.
Here, and you were just like looking at me.
Yep, that's because you stopped talking on my end, and then all of a sudden,
I'm so sorry.
It all caught up. No, it's all okay. And I'm not going to edit it in post because this is organic material here. I edit some things. yeah, it was weird. I don't know fully. There's one sister who I thought maybe was in something that I saw before. But I didn't want to like spoil anything. Obviously, I didn't want to look into it. But one of the sisters looked like she might have been in an episode of Scrubs or an episode of Psych, one of the two. But yeah, it's weird. I think like when I think about my relationship with my siblings, there's like no direction that is going to go that follows this storyline. My brother was one of my groomsmen, and that makes total sense. I think your sister was your maid of honor and you were her maid of honor, right?
She didn't have a bridal party.
Oh, none at all. Okay.
Because it was just
that part.
Parents and siblings at the wedding. When you have 12 people at your wedding, you don't really need to also have them standing next to you. We can all just
for
sit
sure.
down.
So yeah, it's very weird. And then also, you know, when we think about the end, okay, so there's that end scene where she explodes at them in public, kind of unprovoked. I shouldn't say I'm unprovoked. She has more tact than I think they've written April's character to have gone through a ton of like growth in this show.
Yeah,
this felt like regression to me.
Well, yeah, which that makes sense because like when you have the concept of like bringing people from your past or like childhood or something like that, it makes sense that your character like regresses back to like, especially when they're treating you the same way they did when you're in middle school, high school, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. But then, you know, we get that reveal.
Does daddy know? Why would daddy know that she's had sex? Like, that's an insane question. Why would
there's
your father
a writer
know
who's like,
that
this
she
is
has
fucking
had sex?
Funny. Yeah. No, it's. Does daddy know? No, bitch.
That would be weird.
Does Scotty know? No. Scotty doesn't know. So, yeah, I have other notes specifically on this storyline, but what were other thoughts that you had about this
Ducky
storyline?
Ducky is mean. And what a mean nickname.
Ducky's very mean, yes.
We call her Ducky because we think that she was ugly. What is wrong with you people? Go seek therapy. This is weird. Leave her be. Like, I'm not an April stan, but, like, leave the girl alone. Damn.
Also, I don't think that she's ugly. She has a glow up. All right. I think she's the most attractive out of all four of the sisters, all four of the girls.
I mean, she definitely had a glow up. I mean, they're writing it to be explained to us that she had a glow up, which is fine. You had a glow up from high school.
I was a 10 coming out the womb. Every day
of
my life.
You were a preemie. You were like -3 because you weren't even a full person yet.
Okay. So by the time I would have reached a full 9-month gestation period, I think I immediately became a 10.
Sure.
And then from there.
And then you had a regression in your high school years, which is, you guys, I understand that now the youths are somehow just not doing that anymore, but like, we used to have awkward times where we didn't look good in high school and middle school, and everyone got to have it, and that was fine.
Yep.
First, something happened and now no one's doing that anymore, which is weird to me. So I feel like it builds character.
It builds character for sure. You need to go to school with pimples on your face. You need to go to school with braces. You need to go to school. Get it out of the way as a teenager, okay?
I never had braces. I will say.
I also never had braces in high school.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
No, I never had. I have only had the Invisalign.
Oh, I've had. Not that.
But I have had the Invisalign both times, me paying for all of it out of my own pocket because my parents were the worst.
Well, now you're an adult.
All my other siblings. Well, now I'm an adult, yes. All my other siblings had braces, but not me. Not me.
Well, that's because they hated you.
That's true. That is true.
What are you going to do? Renee?
I'm just gonna have to win and rub it in their faces. So I like that there was... Oh, sorry, go ahead. I asked you about what your thoughts were. But I want to agree on record. Everyone needs an awkward face.
Yeah, it's just... I think giving someone a nickname based on "you're ugly" is rude, especially if it's like someone you're related to. And then to like maintain that nickname through... Forever.
Yeah.
She's getting married.
For history.
Clearly, she's done something right. Someone finds her attractive and lovable. Why are you guys being so mean? And like, I know that I'm not historically, canonically a nice person all of the time, but I just think what really irks me about these people is like they're acting like they're being so nice and so sweet. Like, they see no fault in anything they're saying or doing. And that pisses me off so much when people do that.
Yeah. It's also important to note that everyone everywhere is going to have someone who finds them attractive. There's going to be someone in the world. It would be an unreasonable thing to think otherwise, that at least one human being in the world is going to find you attractive.
It feels like
there's love out there for everyone. There's love out there for everyone. We were watching last night. We were watching Aladdin, like the beginning of Aladdin, and when Jafar is in the cave and like helps Aladdin out. I have not seen this movie in years. Okay,
the Cave of Wonders.
But when he's in the he's in the dungeon and he pops out and he's like, "I'm old Greg," and takes him to the Cave of Wonders.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is wild. Even that guy, even Jafar, someone could love Jafar. Okay, guys.
Jafar, someone, he's our man. If he can't do it, great. It's one of my favorite parts of that movie. So funny.
Yeah, we didn't finish watching it. We only got through the first like 50 minutes.
You'll get there. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I've seen the movie a lot. I saw it growing up a lot of times. But man, just could we also recognize for a moment the legend, Robin Williams?
Ugh, so good. There are some movies that like don't need to be remade. And that was one of them.
Sure was.
Yeah. Have a new idea. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. Do we have any? So, yeah, she's like, "You're not going to be my bridesmaids anymore." And they're like, "You have to have bridesmaids and you don't have any friends. So who else is going to do it?" And she was like, "These are my people now." And she points to Christina, Meredith, and Arizona, which like Christina's a choice. So funny to me. Because she's like, "Right?" And Arizona's like, "Yeah, of course." And Christina goes, "Yes." And like says yes in the funniest way. Like I rewound it and watched it like three times. It was so funny to me. I was laughing out loud. I love her so much. Although some poor choices she's making, but I do love her still.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, when we get to talking about Christina and Meredith, no one's really having positive communication.
My issue with her is more on Shane, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's fair. So yeah, it's cute. I like that she has the moment. I get the secondhand cringe when I see people having these kind of moments in front of people, the blow up, like my entire life of frustration and resentment is coming out in one point in public at your place of work where you're a surgeon. Professional adult woman.
Good God, those people
was
that office or that
crazy
working environment is obviously not.
Yeah,
no one is hiding anything they're going through there.
Yeah, it's not healthy for any reason. So yeah, it's pretty crazy, but I like that she told them off, but it's weird that she's also like, and by the way, I fucked. So shut your mouth, because I'm an adult woman who makes choices with my vagina with whatever I want. So, you know, now that's out there. And then like while that's happening, Matthew and Jackson are like, listen, we don't have a problem with each other. It's good.
Yeah, that one
you're
was
good
weird to me. So it starts with them. They're at brunch in the morning, and
yeah,
with Matthew, and then Jackson comes in, and they're like, "Oh God, so weird." And then, April and the girls go to the hospital, but Jackson and Matthew are like, "Oh," they do that thing where they're gonna go, but then they are like walking in the same direction. They're like, "Oh, so weird." And then like a really aggressive cab situation happens. And this guy takes another guy's cab and then slams the door. And the outside guy's tie is caught in the door and the cab leaves. So he's like dragging this man behind him. So obviously that man is injured. And Jackson and Matthew have to assist saving his life. And Matthew trakes him in the field with like the straw from the coffee shop. So Jackson's not pleased. And then, like, they take him to the hospital, obviously. Jackson and April, like, go in to fix it. April's like, oh, I can't believe that Matthew did this. Like, how embarrassing for me. And I'm like, okay, this man is, like, was just dragged by a cab. But okay, we can make it about you. And then...
also, he's his own man. He's a professional. Matthew's a fucking professional.
And everyone loves Matthew. Like, this is only an issue because it's Jackson. So then she's like, I can't, like, you made Matthew sound so dumb, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, this is like, I would have done the same thing. Matthew's not dumb. Good for you. And then she tells Matthew that, and he's like, cool, you owe me an apology, 'cause you said that you would do the same thing. And he's like, yeah, I lied to make you look good for April. And then he's like, you're threatened by me. And he's like, no, I'm not. And they go, oh, okay. We'll be friends now. And I was like, what this conversation is so weird to me. I was like, did we just skip a whole bunch? Like, what is actually happening?
The only worse resolution to conflict that I've seen than this scene that is in Spider-Man 3, when the butler basically tells Harry Osborn, hey, your dad sucked, so go easy on Spider-Man. And then Harry's like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then they're friends, and then they save the world from the Sandman and Venom. Yep. I don't know. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
This is one where they're like, fuck you, fuck
like,
you.
Listen,
wait, really?
I don't,
no, like, we don't
mind
need to.
It because they shouldn't have beef, in my opinion.
No,
like,
they shouldn't. There is no
there's
beef.
It's fine that it's, like, resolved this way. I just think it's weird that they're, like, in the middle of having this, like, quote-unquote fight or bickering match or, like, dick measuring contest, whatever you want to call it, and then all of a sudden they're just like, wait, I actually don't have any problem. He's like, oh cool, that's fine then, what? And then he's like, can't wait to see you at the wedding. And Jackson's like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna come to the wedding. And he's like, no, you definitely should, because we just said we're fine. Can you see it? We said it. We even shook hands. We high-fived. Everything's great. You can come to the wedding.
And our penises never even made it out of our pants. We are fine.
Yeah. So that, like, again, I have no issue with the resolution. Like, to me, that's fine. Like, yeah, be friendly for the sake of April at the very least. And also because you work together with regularity. So there's many reasons to be on good terms. But yeah, just like that little, like, 2 minute span of conversation was really bizarre to me.
Yeah. Before we take a quick capitalism break, there's two little scenes that I want to call out. So the scene where the sisters meet Arizona and they're like, oh my gosh, she walks so good. That's real strength. Whoa, crazy.
Yeah. My dog lost a leg and he hops around. What are you? Have these people never been in society? Like, this is insane.
No, they've been on a pig farm their whole lives.
Listen, I'm not going to disparage pig farmers because there are probably normal ones.
Probably. And then the last line where they're showing up at the hospital and they're basically saying, where's April? She promised that we would, she'd be off work by now. And Arizona says, okay, well, she got called into a trauma. And then one of the sisters says, why would you live like this? Mm-hmm. And Arizona says, because we save lives.
I also wrote you, that down.
You dunce. Like, you're what are welcome. You doing?
We save lives.
Yes.
It's important work. Well,
She'll pop in when she can. This is her. She can't. No, we need her. Well, you just have to settle for pop, bitch. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. This was actually kind of a fun storyline. I'm annoyed by all of it, but it's kind of a fun storyline.
Yeah, like it was fun. It was entertaining to watch. It was just ew.
Yeah. Whoa.
Have you ever, again, been in society?
Yeah. Okay. Capitalism?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Money. And we are back. I hope that you are all richer in your bank accounts because of the capitalism, because that is what it does. The trickle-down effect is what we do this for.
Everyone's favorite, Reaganomics.
Everyone's favorite trickle-down Lawless. Effect. And if you haven't, make sure you buy your Iran war bonds.
For the love of
you
God.
Can buy them in the form of a Trump gold coin or a Trump
this?
Crypto.
This is the dumbest timeline.
Yeah. Did you see someone had shared that there's a betting app that you can bet on nuclear war? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. If you have a gambling problem, just know that maybe you can get help. There are places that you could get help. I think just like the existence of these gambling and betting apps, both sports and otherwise, are really taking advantage of people who like have that addiction, and they just like are. It's a bummer, in my opinion. I think there's anything inherently wrong with gambling, but I do think it is an easy hole to fall into, and people can really spiral quickly and like ruin lives.
Yeah,
and it bums me out that capitalism takes advantage of that.
I listen to a lot of finance podcasts, and one of the things that they talk about is the prevalence of, especially in millennial males, of sports gambling and how it affects, your ability to create wealth, it's so true. It's so true. So,
and on that note, we have specifically opted to not have gambling ads in this podcast. So if you ever hear one, please let us know so that we can reach out to our platform and let them know, because we are supposed to not have them. So if they sneak in, please let us know.
Yes, let us.
The Carmen's gambling is just buying Pokemon cards, and the gamble is there something good here? And that is an okay gamble.
Yeah.
So far.
And also, let me just be very clear. I have not spent a single penny on Pokemon cards at all in the month of March.
It is March 4th.
That's a big improvement.
From what?
Having spent any pennies.
From February 28th. In the month of March.
There was actually a friend of mine sent me a text, and she said, hey, I see that there's cards at Target. Do you want me to get you some? And I said, oh my gosh, yes. But let me text Jessica first. And Jessica said, no. And I said, okay, never mind. Don't get them for me. And she said, well, I can get them for you. I could just hold on to them until Jess is all right with you getting them. And I said, no, that's a slippery slope, because I'll never be able to pay you back for all the cards that I want. And I should just not.
That's very big of you. I love it when you have self-control.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, so yes, gambling's, be careful. What were we talking about?
If it's helpful, for all of you out there in your gambling addictions, if you see Pokemon cards, buy them and then send them to me, and I will take the gambling out of your life.
I don't know that that's where we've landed with this.
I think we're on the same page. I think we're all the listeners are on the same page. I think we're all in alignment. So to show how much of an alignment we are in, we should move on to the next topic.
Are we, did we have anything else with April and her sisters, or Jackson and Matthew?
I don't think so. It's worth pointing out that Jackson said, which we did already a little bit talk about it. He said, I would have done the same thing with the surgery. He did it right. And Jackson still was, I think Jackson was pissed about the fact that he's a surgeon and he could have just done it. And Matthew didn't need to go all cowboy, even if he did it the same spot. He didn't do it the same precision. So,
well, and he said he did it horizontal instead of vertical. And that was like a huge issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Derek and Callie.
Okay.
They have a new patient that they're working with on their research, where they have put sensors in her brain to try and control a like robotic arm, essentially. And I believe the end goal is that essentially people will have these sensors when they have, if they're paralyzed or if they have an amputated limb, and so they can have prosthetics and move and control these robotic medical devices, essentially. Like, they can do that. They can control it with their brain from these sensors in their brain. That's like the goal, to my understanding of this research. So they have a new patient because they were doing this a couple episodes ago and that guy died, and that was a bummer. And then they have this new woman whose name is Becca and her husband's name is John. And she is clearly having a hard time with, they don't really go into what happened to her, like how she became paralyzed, but she seems to be paralyzed from the neck down. And she says that, you know, she's getting really frustrated. They've been doing this. They're like, they can't figure out why it's not working. They're trying all these different things, but like, there's just no progress. It's not the code. It's not the sensors. It's Becca, but they don't want to like tell her that and take it away from her or make her give up. But she's very frustrated, and she is taking that out on a lot of people, including her spouse. And at one point, she gets really frustrated. She tells him to leave. And she says, she's like, I just keep snapping at him. Like, he does everything for me. And all I wanted to do was one thing for him, and I can't do it. And it's just like ruining my life. And I am going to make it worse for my relationship if I keep doing this. So I want to quit. And Callie's like, yeah, okay, let's quit. And Derek, of course, being Derek, is like, no. Let me have an idea first.
And Callie, it involves, says, not yes, toothpaste this time, a bottle of water.
So he says, well, Callie's point is she's sick of fighting. She's like, I fight with Arizona here or at home. I fight with Becca here. Now I'm fighting with you. Like, I can't have every single aspect of my life be a fight. And so I understand where she's coming from, because they're trying to, like, the thing that's hard about this clinical trial is they have to push whoever is doing it. Like, there has to be a certain amount that's part of the expectation, is like, they're really going to push this person to like do things that are difficult because no one's done it before.
Right.
So they're working on that. Obviously she's frustrated. Derek's like, we have to figure out another way to get her brain to try and do this, essentially, is what he's thinking. And then he has an idea when he hands Callie a water bottle, because it's fucking Derek Shepherd, of course he does. And he tells her, don't think about moving the hand, just like look at your husband and think about what you want to say to him. And essentially, I think his thought process is, you know, when you're telling someone, you know, your caregiver, your spouse, the person that you love, how much you love them and how grateful you are for them, instinctively, you're likely also going to like reach out and touch them. And so, of course, it works because it's Derek and it has to work.
Because it's Derek Shepherd. Yeah.
It is a nice moment, because it does like really, it does a lot for her and for her husband as well. And that I'm fine with. Like, I like that. I just feel as though it's basically like, well, this worked because it was an idea that Derek had. And it's just very plot armor-esque for me. And I just, you know, it's just my Derek bias, I'm going to be honest.
No, and that's totally fine. I agree. I actually was expecting a lot more like death and failure within the storylines in this episode than we got. It's like what's it called when there's no bad things that could happen to someone?
Plot armor?
Not plot armor. There's like the state. There's no stakes, right?
Oh,
like,
what, I see what like, you're saying.
Right, there were no stakes in this episode that really felt like they were super high. The worst thing that happened was a sheep died. Right.
Well, I mean, baby Nathan almost died.
Baby, almost, yeah. But didn't. Right.
Well, the stakes were high in his surgery for sure.
That's fair. That's fair. So, but yeah, it was definitely. I wish it wasn't like a Derek success idea. I wish it was actually a Callie successful idea.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Where she could have been like, hey, did you just see that? And she's like, and Derek's like, what? I reached for that water. But like, I don't know why I reached for that water, right? Or something to that effect. Something. But yeah. Anyways, yeah, it's really cool. That lady, I forget her name, but she was mean to her husband the entire episode, Becca. And then all of a sudden, you know, she, when he's not there, she's like, I just love him so much. I just wish he knew how much I cared. And I actually thought that the hand was going to move in that scene, and it did not.
Mm-hmm. I do think, like, to me, her being mean to him totally, like, made sense. And it also, I think, goes hand in hand with, like, it's harder with Arizona because Arizona blames Callie because Callie made the choice. But I think anytime you have any kind of life transition like that, there's going to be like unresolved emotions or emotions that you're like processing through. And like something that I think is inherently human nature is when you're really comfortable with someone, you are going to lash out at them a lot of times, because especially if you feel safe in the relationship and you feel like, oh, you know, this person will never leave me. Now, obviously there are people who take this too far. And that is bad. That is abusive or like a bad relationship.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
I just mean like even in a healthy one, it's like you're like, okay, well, I can't be mean to these doctors, so I guess I'll be mean to my husband. But she is also kind of mean to the doctors, which is fine. More people should be mean to Derek. So
yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, it ends up good, and he's like, I never thought, you know, you would touch me again. And
yeah.
I think that was a really sweet moment because she wasn't, the robotic arm was, but the thought was the translation piece. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool that he didn't let that physical piece get
in
the way.
And it was really cool that he got to be a part of that moment because, again,
yeah,
he is doing so much to support her in through whatever illness or accident she had that made this life event happen. I mean, it's very much like it is in sickness and in health. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Honor those vows, baby.
Honor those vows. Yes.
I think sometimes people say those and they don't really think about what it means. And that is something that it means.
Yeah. Yeah. It is one of those things. And then that obviously led to, you know, we get a good moment with Callie in Arizona later.
You know, I don't know that I love this. Oh, wait. We also didn't talk about at the bridal shower. One of April's sister like trauma dumps on Arizona because she's like,
oh yeah.
But we're staying together because we have kids, and then she just like downs a bottle of wine. I'm like, that's healthy. She's like, April doesn't know.
Well, isn't it also she's like, oh, we are doing therapy and it didn't work, did you guys do therapy? And the lady's like, no, we didn't do therapy, we just bottled our emotions up and didn't talk
about it. We didn't
want to
talk about it
because it's all
fine. We didn't want to talk about it too much. What?
Yeah, we didn't want to work on ourselves or improve it, but I will drink this entire bottle of wine in one glass, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's wild. And then when Callie's like and Arizona are fighting, and they're like, oh, we're fighting about how we fight, like we can't even talk to each other because everything turns into an argument. And Callie's like, well, then maybe talking's the problem, so let's just have sex instead. Which, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, processing issues in your relationship and still being intimate if you can do both.
Right.
It's not...
Correct.
We keep fighting, so we'll just have sex instead. That's not a resolution.
I do think... I don't disagree with you, but I do think there is something to be said about like their relationship has been through just so much. And part of the reason that I think led to that, the cheating, the original cheating, was the lack of intimacy and that connection. So, you know, getting some of that intimacy back makes some sense to me, actually.
There is a lot to be said for like getting back to being able to be intimate when like someone has had an affair. And I do think that is an important step for sure. I'm not like trying to say they shouldn't have sex at all. I'm just saying like basically to say we should just not talk and that will solve
and
this.
Only smush. Yeah.
It's just like, I think you have to have a balance. Like you can't obviously like cut out intimacy out of your relationship either, because that's going to build up a different issue, but you also can't cut out communication and only be having sex.
Right.
Now, is there something to be said for makeup sex? Yes. Is there something to be said for maybe being in a better mood after you have sex and then you can calmly talk things through? Yes, there is something to be said for both of these things. Again, it's just like there's a healthy balance. I just think it paints the picture of we'll just have sex and not talk anymore. Because when we talk, all it is a fight.
Yeah. So. I see what you're saying, and I do agree with you.
It's just a balance.
Yeah, it's a balance. Just like, you know,
struggling to find, it seems.
Yeah. The best part about balancing is when you're balancing on top of each other having sex.
Apparently, so, that's what they seem to think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have anything else to talk about with the Cali and the Arizona other than Leah being this adjacent, like salty, leering,
it's
jealous,
so weird,
pathetic.
I don't like how they write this. And I feel like the more and more I watch it, I feel bad because of the way that this is being portrayed. Because at the end of the day, this is like sexual harassment. That is like this relationship is over. And her workplace is still a really negative environment for her because of it. Like, this is exactly why this is classified as sexual harassment. There is a power dynamic. Her education is like, she cannot even focus. And again, like, part of it is how they have written her. So I'm not trying to like victim blame, and I don't want it to come off that way. I just like, it's really hard to watch. Cause I'm like, surely they don't want us to feel bad for her. So they're making her like not intolerable. I don't know. It's like, I just think a lot of it is like really, it's weird. I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't think that we're currently in sexual harassment. We were
in sexual harassment.
The sexual
harassment has passed, but the residual effects of it are like,
is why
really negative.
They have these power struggles that we, you know, make illegal or highly discourage in the workplace. And I don't know. It's just weird. And when she keeps being like, oh, you think they'll break up? Or that scene when Cali and Arizona were arguing about, like, they're watching Shane and Christina's surgery in the gallery. And Callie's like, this is the worst. And Arizona basically says, like, cheer up or stay positive. And Callie's like, fucking why? And Arizona's like, yeah, I guess you're right. That's just like a thing people say. Cali storms off. Leah's leering the whole time. Mm-hmm. And Joe goes, whoa, did you see that? And Leah goes, yeah, that was intense. Do you think they're finally going to break up? And Joe's like, the fuck were you? What? Stop. Yeah.
This is like a huge surgery that people are like fighting to get into. And she's not even attempting to watch it. Also, I did want to mention, like, I do think Cali is in a bad headspace because of what's going on with the research. But I do think she was kind of putting too much on Arizona. Like, it does bother me when people are like, oh, it'll be okay. Like, just relax, just cheer up, whatever. But I do think as soon as Callie's like, why? And Arizona's like, you know what? You're right. Like, I guess as people say, like, basically, forget I said it. And Callie's like, ugh, I just have to go. And I'm like, okay, Callie, like I'm on your side in the macro sense, but like right here in this moment, I actually don't think Arizona is like trying to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think she's trying to be a better communicator. I think she's trying to grow.
Yeah.
And
so that in that moment, I was sharing a bed again. Maybe just settle down.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. Leah, they really are writing her as just this sad sack. And I'm grateful. I don't know. I'm not grateful. I'm glad that they are writing the interns to basically call her on her shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not enough peer accountability in this show, you know?
Yeah.
Shane still hasn't told anyone about his role in the death of Heather. Not the murder, but his role in the
accidental
death.
They are writing them in a different way, I guess, than what we've kind of seen in the past. Like, obviously, we had our core group of interns, and then we've stayed with them the whole time. And then we had the secondary group of interns that had Lexi. So obviously, we knew a lot about Lexi, but then it kind of falls off, and we don't really know a lot about the other ones. And then we get these guys.
Yep.
So I think they're just kind of trying to find the footing of, like, introducing these new characters. And then being like, okay, how much do we stick with them? Like, how much are they main cast? How much are they supporting cast? Kind of, like, balance in that way, I guess.
As of right now, it feels like they're writing all four of them as main character ascension lines.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to rank them, I think, obviously, Joe's is the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this was a good episode for Steph, kind of aligning her back in with Meredith, although they did a really good job with Steph's character of being kind of this, I am not afraid to stand up to the authority, you know, kind of mindset, which I really like. Shane, they're just making him an asshole right now, especially to Meredith.
Yeah, this is not it. He is,
like, even when Alex was being a dick, there were like times where you would be like, oh, okay,
there was kind of something to back it up.
There was, there was like this glimmer of hope
this
that
feels
he could
like
change it.
What's backing it up for Shane to me feels like Shane's ego versus like when it was Alex, it would be because of something for a patient. And ultimately he like would be right and would have like the backings of these doctors. And that's not really how it's playing out with Shane.
They also, I don't remember how early on this was. I feel like it was actually probably kind of a while. But I remember when I first started to like Alex, they had started to write the fact that some of his shit was coming from the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane has had this character hard pivot since the death of Heather.
Yeah.
So like, it
and
feels
also,
like,
I think that, and then like being kicked off of Derek's service.
Yeah.
Like there definitely was like a combination of things that where he would like definitely became more aggressive.
Well, I also think, and we'll get into this in the next episode, but when Christina's like, I think Shane's getting a little bit aggressive, but I think it's because he's on your service. There's, I think, some validity to that. I think Christina was forced. Hold on. I think Christina was forced to grow a heart by Bailey. I think that ultimately Christina is someone who has a heart and is aggressive. Shane is only seeing the aggressive part. He's not being pushed to get that heart the way that Bailey pushed them early on in their careers to have that. I'm seeing like you're right. It's the ego, I think, is the good word. And he's seeing all of these kind of the fruits of I'm shark attitude.
There's
I get what I want.
There's an entitlement that he's walking around with.
And there's
that
entitlement.
He doesn't
yeah.
have the experience to back up with. Like, you know, we see Christina now with entitlement. She's a resident or she's a fellow. So she has this education, this experience to back it up. He is like a day and a half out of being an intern. And he is walking around making, he like says he, oh, I made a unilateral decision or whatever, or an executive decision. And I'm like, you don't get to do that. You're not an executive. Like, so no. And he's just like making a lot of choices, very emboldened. And if you think back to when Christina was in that stage, she would ask for things. She would be like, we should do this. But she would say that to her mentors, her leaders, her teachers. She was not just executing it on her own. She was eager to do it, and she was pushy to get it and to ask for it, but she wasn't just doing it. Whereas yeah. I think that's the difference. And my issue also with, you know what, we're going to pick up with the Meredith and Christina thing at the top of next episode after everyone's favorite segment.